Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
An Elio's original.
Hello, and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, and reveal some of our favorite conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. I'm Allie Siegel, and today I'm so excited. We have one of my favorite people on Earth and the host of one of my favorite podcasts, Lauren Deborah. Lauren, tell us about yourself and your podcast, because I know our listeners would love your podcast so much.
Oh my gosh, you're so sweet. A bit about myself. I'm a huge Allie Siegel fan. this is a big deal for me. this is awesome. My podcast is called My Dad Stole My Limelight. The short version is that my dad came out before I could. So, you know, young Lauren blamed him for staying in the closet. It's a fun and funny podcast. My dad's been on it, but essentially I interview people about their coming out experiences. Didn't know it was going to be a funny podcast when I launched, but there you go.
It's so cool. Also, weird story. Lauren and I were like internet friends and we had never met. And then we were randomly at the same comedy show. Yeah. And I saw her and I was like, Lauren? And like a total creep. I was like, oh.
Not a creep at all. I was like, what? Well, at first I was in LA, which I don't live there, so I was like, yeah, who knows me? It must be a different Lauren. So like my reaction was like, what? And we're masked up, so it took me a second, but
yes, it was amazing.
I wasn't sure
you were there either yet too, and I was like, it was just a weird faded experience.
Totally.
And you are like in the comedy as well. You've done a lot of comedy stuff.
Yeah, a bit. Like a lot of my experience has been behind the scenes. So I've like managed clubs and produced and albums, yeah, and festivals and that kind of fun stuff. But I have been on stage, and I took a break off stage for 2 years. No big deal. You know, lots of people did. No reason. Just felt like it. Just needed a break.
Did anything happen?
No, not at all. I was just really tired. but I recently just started getting back up on stage. So that has been terrifying and fun.
Oh my God, that's crazy. And just so everyone knows, Lauren has an Australian accent, but she's currently in Canada.
Yeah.
So don't get confused.
And Australians, don't be mad at my like botched accent. I've been here for a while. It's going to come and go.
We once had a mailbag episode where someone just called in and did an Australian accent for like 5 minutes, and they weren't Australian. And it was just the most bizarre mailbag.
I remember that, because you weren't sure. Yeah. Like, are they putting on an accent, or is this...
We were like, are they acting, or is it, what are they doing? But Lauren's is real.
It's real.
So tell us about your episode today. I am so excited. And you've also included some pictures, so we'll put those up when your episode airs as well. She's the most thorough person that I know.
Allie does know that about me. Over-organized? Correct.
Yes, it's amazing. I wish I was Lauren. All right. Well, as we say, let's get into it.
Oh my gosh, what a thrill. Can I quickly shout out my sister? I know that's weird.
Oh my gosh,
but
shout out anyone you want.
Okay, my little sister, Emily, who I affectionately call Elmon, since we were kids, I don't even remember why, binges Web Crawlers. Like, we discovered it at the same time during like the start of the lockdown. She's in Australia. And I just want to say that right now she's like finishing up her placement at uni. She's doing like up to like 300 hours of her 500. She's the first person in our family to go to university. She put herself through university by working full time. She's a badass, but she listens to this show, and I tried to get her to co-host with me, but she was too scared. Sorry, first chat, for calling you out, Elmon. But you're amazing, and I just want to say I love you, and now your name is on the pod.
Emily, shout out to Emily, and congratulations on going to uni, university, they say here in the States. What is she studying?
She's doing social working. Social working? Yeah, that's why I didn't go to uni. Social work?
Oh my God. I always want to
definitely
get into
social
work. Definitely
more complex than that. She's smart. I'm in awe of her.
You're the comedian.
Yeah, I'm the funny one.
You're the funny one. Congratulations, Emily. And if you ever want to co-host again, just let us know. The friends and family benefits.
Oh my gosh, so cute. Well, thank you for letting me shout her out.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
But the episode today I'm doing is on an Australian thing. I wanted to keep it in the homeland. I guess I'm feeling a bit homesick. But you've also already covered two of my favorite Aussie things, which was the dingo ate my baby and I tried to eat my husband.
The two classic Australian.
The three things were known for, those two and Steve Irwin.
Dingo ate my baby, I ate my husband, and now this.
And now this, which maybe I should give a shout out to my other sister who obsessively watched true crime documentaries with her husband, Why Her Children Nap.
I love that.
And she's the one who gave me this. I was like, I'm too scared to do the research. What should I do this on? And so she gave me, and then I went and researched it. So
I love that that's how she relaxes from like a break from her kids is like true crime. It's like, my kids are finally napping. I can watch my murder.
Totally. Show. Time to unwind, put my feet up. And does it with her husband. Like, this is how we love each other.
That's so cute.
But I discovered, which I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast do, that while researching this, when she gave me the topic, thank you, Karen, that I was like, oh, I only consume this kind of content through web crawlers, and I am such a chicken shit.
Oh my God. That's
so
amazing.
This podcast, I have to say, was almost called, it is about the Flora Valley Station mystery, which I'll give you info about in a second, but it was almost called The Flora Valley Station Mystery Gave Me Nightmares and I Don't Want to Talk About It. So
that's even better. That's what we'll title the episode on Spotify or Apple when we put it up.
Totally. Okay. So the Flora Valley Station Mystery is a story of how two Australian boys aged 16 and 17 vanished from an outback cattle station, and the discovery of their bodies and a death note months later made it even more of a mystery.
Ooh.
So this happened long before Ali and I were born. Decades before we were born, in 1986.
That I don't even remember the 80s.
Totally.
Yeah, what?
So in 1986, two boys, James Annette, who was 16, and Simon Amos, who was 17, excitedly and separately, that's important, they didn't do it together, answered an ad for work up in the Kimberley as jackaroos at Flora Valley Station. Ooh. So the ad called for young boys aged 16 to 18 and no experience was required, which is suspect already.
Yeah, I have to interject.
Yes,
for
please.
Those who don't know, what's a jackaroo?
Oh yeah, you know what? Good point. I did define this later in the doc, which it would have made sense to do it now. So the job title is called jackaroo, which when I googled it, I found out the feminine equivalent is jillaroo, which is which is ridiculous on so many levels.
Yes.
Like the two genders, jackaroo and jillaroo.
Yeah, that's like, come on.
So amazing. But anyway, a jackaroo works on a sheep or a cattle station, basically as a trainee to get experience to hopefully one day like become a manager or an overseer of these stations. So just making sure everything runs smoothly. And they get paid really little because they're like trainees. So these boys got paid $100 a week, which is, I mean, it's the 80s, but also not much for the conditions that they worked in. I also, side note, Ali did say there were photos. James was apparently 16 and he looks 30, in my opinion. And Simon was 17 and looks 11. So I don't know if that's the 80s or something.
The 80s were a weird time.
Yeah, totally.
Also, I can never tell ages. I've looked 30 since I was 15 years old.
And then you just stopped aging.
And then I stopped aging and I'll never age again.
Exactly. You're a witch. We know.
Yes.
So James was from a remote area in New South Wales, which was 4,000 kilometers away from the station. And he arrived in July. He was described as struggling at school, wanted to be financially independent, and was said to be thoughtful and dependable. And Simon came from the city of Adelaide and arrived a month later. And people described him as cheeky and outgoing.
Ooh, cheeky.
Cheeky. Cheeky boy. And so the area that they're in is the Kimberley. So people who don't know that, it's Western Australia's sparsely settled northern region. I didn't write that line in case you couldn't tell. Thanks, Goog. it's known for large areas of wilderness defined by rugged ranges, dramatic gorges, and largely isolated coastline. I am a writer and I couldn't write that line. So the job was to work.
No, I mean, that's National Geographic style.
Totally. Wikipedia, I think, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, they were working on the remote cattle station. The conditions they were forced to work in weren't great. When they arrived, the cattle industry was going into, or maybe was already in, maybe I should have found that out, a depression. So that's why they were hiring like young, inexperienced workers to save money.
They're like, we'll hire anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Let's exploit whoever we can. So the place that they were working was cutting costs where they could. So the accommodation was super basic and unhygienic. Apparently raw sewage was reported to come up through the shower floor when you flush the toilet. Several documents told me that.
Okay. Side note. This is just a personal story about raw sewage.
Please.
And it's just finally. I've had people working in my backyard for the past few weeks, and I have like a back office, and I've been letting them use the toilet in the back office. And the other day they were like, oh, by the way, the toilet's clogged. And I assume like maybe it was just like too much toilet paper or something like that. I went in the back yesterday and there is brown water coming out of the toilet and the shower.
No.
And I was like, oh, this is not a clogged toilet. These men have destroyed my bathroom. They have, I don't know what they've done that back there, but they have destroyed my toilet.
That's my raw sewage story.
Yeah, it was really gross. So I called Roto-Rooter and they're coming tomorrow morning.
You called what?
It's like an American company, and they have all these commercials that are like have a jingle.
Oh my gosh!
It's like Roto-Rooter, and they're like just plumbers. They're like the most standard plumbers you can get.
Hey, whatever it takes,
whatever it takes to get the brown water out of my back.
Oh my gosh! Well, best of luck. Yeah. Blessings
Thank
to you.
You
and your home. That's terrifying.
Thank you. Anyways, back to so Australian raw
Ali's
sewage.
Fate has been as dark as James and Simon's has, is what we've learned.
I really relate to this whole story.
Yeah, exactly.
This is about me now.
Of course, main character. I get it. It absolutely.
Yeah, main character syndrome.
Well, Ali, let us know if this also happens to you. Do you get electric shocks from switching on lights in your house?
All the time.
We need lots of handymen in Ali's home ASAP.
Yeah, please.
The beds were fold-out spring beds with like really thin mattresses. The windows appear to have no screens on them, et cetera, which in Australia is a big deal because there's insects and all that fun stuff.
Oh, gosh.
That is what they were living like, but needless to say, they were still really excited about it because this was their dream and they wanted to be independent, cool people. So a bit about Flora Valley. The manager of Flora Valley at the time was Giles Loder, and I Googled how to pronounce that so no one come at me. I wrote it out.
You did. It said she has the like phonetic exactly. pronunciation written out.
And so if I later in this episode pronounce it wrong, it was a mistake. Okay. So yes. Giles Loder. Also living there was his pregnant wife, Vicky, who, as a side note, had several conversations with one of the boys, James's mother, who was concerned for his safety, and had assured her that he would be well taken care of, that he wouldn't be left alone, all these kinds of things, because his parents were pretty worried. There was a governess, and more on her later, a cook, and a dozen stockmen. So that all the people that were there.
Yeah.
Pretty isolated. So James and Simon each had a radio to keep in contact with Mr. Loder. Let's just skip his first name. But there was a little outside other support. Super isolated, especially compared to where they were used to living, right? They weren't used to living in the outback. And most of the young, experienced boys that they hired never lasted more than 2 months there. Obviously understandable. I don't know if I'd even last that long. So as well as poor living conditions, it sounded pretty dodgy all around in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree.
And at the time of his disappearance, James allegedly hadn't been paid for 2 months. So everything's feeling a bit dodgy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The vehicles that they drove, the cost to repair them, they kept being threatened that would come out of their paycheck. A few weeks before he went missing, James had been hit in the head by a spanner thrown by Loder. I'm just going to go last name now. Who was said to be physically and verbally abusive to the younger Jackaroos. So bad dude.
Yeah, this is not a fun work sitch.
No, not at all. Not at all. So after 7 weeks at Flora Valley, which isn't a lot of learning time, the boys were thrown into the deep end and each sent to work as lone caretakers on two other remote properties. So there was about 180 kilometers, which... in America, 112 miles apart.
Thank you very much.
So James went northeast to Nicholson Station and Simon south to Sturt Creek. And working alone, the boys' days consisted of 14-hour round road trips, and that was 7 days a week. Like, they didn't get a day off. They were checking on everything. The heat was extreme. They were doing things like bore runs, which I had to Google what that meant. Bore water is like the water that the cattle and stuff would drink. It's not safe for humans to drink. But they Yeah, they were checking everything was running okay. So, like, checking the windmills, fueling the diesel pumps, which is something I never thought I'd say. What does that mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
And making sure other equipment was functioning. Basically just making sure everything was working okay to keep the cattle alive so these people could keep making money. And then these long round trips every day meant driving on like ungraded tracks in vehicles with no air conditioning. And the weather was in the 40s in Celsius, which is like 104 and up in Fahrenheit, according
to
Google.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's really fucking hot.
Oh my gosh.
Super hot. So look, these guys weren't having a good time.
No.
And then they were alone. They were like so far apart from anyone else. And they were in rough populated country. The closest town to Nicholson Station, for example, was 7 hours away and had a population of 1,200 people.
Oh, my God. So if you get hurt, like there is no hospital near you.
Totally. And it's the 80s. So like what is available to you? Like you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt there'd be cell service there anyway if there were cell phones. But like.
Yeah. There's like no way like. To get help if something happens to you.
Yeah. Well, it's mentioned later, but the pregnant wife traveled to like an entirely different state to have her baby. So like it's so isolated.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Also, I found out that if you've seen Wolf Creek, which I haven't, I'm a chicken. I've not seen Wolf Creek. Have you, Allie? Well,
is that about like Bigfoot?
No, it's like an outback. No, it's an outback. I would watch that.
Psych. Yeah.
It's about like an outback murderer stopped some backpackers and did. I haven't seen it and it's a true story, but they died.
Oh shit!
Like, I know that much.
Spoiler alert! Didn't end well for them. No, but I will watch that. That's cool.
But apparently, this was like not far from there. Like by not far in here, it was still like a good drive. But like
yeah,
not far from where all that happened. Yeah.
Oh, God. not a good location.
Not a good, absolutely yeah. not. Absolutely not. Can't get Uber Eats out there, that's for sure.
No. Oh, God, nightmare.
Yeah, totally. So Wednesdays were the only day that the boys saw other people. They would go into Flora Valley, like the main station, and pick up their mail and supplies, and they could socialize briefly with other staff at the main station, get their vehicles serviced. And at their personal stations, there was no television or company. Like, there was nothing. It was just them. They were completely alone. They were completely far apart from each other, so it's not like they were close to each other. The distances between them don't seem far, but because the roads were super rough and rocky and dusty and like in bad weather or bad, it could take like hours and hours of what would normally be like a 30-minute drive for you or I. Well, maybe not in LA, maybe for a 30-minute drive for me.
That would make you go insane.
Totally.
Like isolation in prison, like solitary confinement. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, and like no TV, nothing. Like what are you... They're teenagers. What are they doing?
I was going to say, yeah, they're 17-year-old boys. Like, it's not like they're going to want to read books. No, you know?
Exactly. Well, actually, in the photos, there is, it's not one of these boys, but there is like a picture of one of the Jackaroos, and he's just laying there in his like little short shorts reading like, not a Playboy, but something, you know?
Oh my God, I literally was going to be like, are they just jerking it alone totally, all week
totally.
Long?
Totally, like, and getting paid $100 a week to do it.
Yeah.
Actually, this sounds great. Can I go work there?
Actually, side note.
I'll go to the Outback with a Playboy and $100 a week. I'm fine. I'm Oh my gosh. And oh yeah, Ali, I've attached a visual for you there so you can see how.
I just clicked on that. This is so scary. It's really in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's nothing... I mean, it's just desolate land.
Wild. So ridiculous.
Yeah, this is crazy.
I couldn't imagine being that isolated, and I'm from Australia. Like, I've never been to the Outback, in case people listening hadn't figured that out already.
Yeah. I mean, everyone probably had assumed you had. I think people who have never been to Australia think all of Australia is the Outback.
Right. Totally.
That's not true.
No, absolutely not. I have stayed far away from it. Maybe one day. Yeah. But after writing this, no thanks.
No, like, thank you. Yeah.
Hard pass. Okay, so this is where, if it wasn't already, it gets a bit fishy. So on the afternoon of Monday, December 1st, both boys missed their twice daily radio calls to the main station.
Uh-oh.
So Vicky, who is the wife that we mentioned, used to be the one to answer these calls. But as I mentioned, she went to New South Wales to have her baby. So they had passed this task on to the governess, who I Googled what that meant. I was like, what's a governess?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
Her name is Teresa Stanfield Campbell, and she was just a 16-year-old girl that grew up on the thing. I don't know why. Like, does that mean her parents owned it? I don't know. I couldn't find that out.
I imagine like a governess to be like a set, like 50-year-old woman,
right?
Who was like yelling at everyone, yeah, and in charge, or
and
something.
In a high waisted skirt, dressed even though it was the 80s, she looked like she's
like
from
a
the
50s. Arm.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
A high bun. Yeah.
I envisioned a school marm, but
it's like Miss Trunchbull.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought it was.
That's what I thought too. But then there's photos of this girl and she's like this 16-year-old, long blonde hair, having the time of her life dancing around on their social activities. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you the governess?
I'm a governess. I mean, the governess of Web Crawlers.
100%. Oh my gosh, Ali, this is a complete side note, but it's September. Of course. So I watched Hocus Pocus last night. My annual viewing has begun.
Yes.
And I think Sarah Jessica Parker has big Ally Siegel vibes in that movie. And that is that's a compliment.
No, she's I know. I've actually heard that before.
So good.
That's not the first time I've
so
heard that.
So good.
I can't wait. They're doing the reboot comes out like October or something. But Bette Midler's become a bit problematic. So
she
I'm,
has.
Yeah, but I'm still going to watch it.
100% still going to watch it.
Yeah, still going to watch it.
My roommates and I have already decided, because like a couple of us are away on trips, and it's like, you better fucking wait until I'm back.
Yeah,
don't you dare watch it without me.
That's so cute. Oh my God, I love that.
But so Sarah Jessica Parker did follow Ally around for all of 2022 to character study the reboot.
Yeah, she was a, what do they call that when... actor like doesn't break character even when they're out of character.
Oh my gosh, I don't know what that's called. I know what you mean.
I'll think of it in like 40 minutes.
Yeah,
I'll think of it when we're done recording.
Text
and
me later.
I'm really annoyed. Yeah.
You just send me the word. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you're like, what? Okay.
But anyway, this chick, Teresa, oh, she was left in charge of the radios, which, like, weird. But then one day in late November, Giles, going for the pronunciation, Giles told Teresa to stay out of the radio room and never told her why. Like, no one ever found out why she wasn't allowed back in there. It's a bit suspect.
Yeah.
And then after that, this guy named Shane Kendall, a 24-year-old inexperienced jackaroo who was, like, quickly promoted to head stockman, really weird. He was left in charge of the radios but was given very little training on how to use them. And it was technically station policy to check the welfare of any employee who missed two calls in a row. And apparently,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, makes sense. Like, if that's their only connection with anyone, if you miss one, I think I'm going to be worried.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently Shane did nothing about the missed calls. And by the time Giles Loader visited Nicholson on the 3rd of December, both the boys had missed four calls by that point. And
Oh my God.
And then, to add to that, the purpose of Loader's visit was to repair a ball motor, and he wasn't there to check on them. So it's a little unclear whether Shane didn't pass this on or whether he did and this guy just didn't give a shit.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he said when he got there to Nicholson that James and the Datsun Ute. Oh, Ute. Here's a fun thing. Ute is like a pickup truck.
Oh.
It's like a utility vehicle, but because we're Australian, we abbreviate everything.
Say ute.
Ute.
Like uni. Uni. Ute. I'm going to uni in my ute.
Jump in the ute. Let's go to the Barbie. I didn't even talk like that.
Yeah.
I'm putting on an Australian accent.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Put another strip on the Barbie. I'm like, Lauren, you are Australian. What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. The Australian bimbos are going to come for me after this episode.
I know. Oh, you better watch out.
I'm so sorry. I'm a nice person. But anyway, the Datsun Ute he used were both missing. So James and his vehicle were gone. Loader couldn't repair the motor. This was still being his priority, obviously.
Yeah.
So he went to pick up a spare part at the other location where Simon's meant to be, at Sturt Creek, and Simon was missing too. So both boys are missing, and he still just kept going with repairing the motor. That was his top priority. Like, yep, oh, got to fix this motor. Like, no alert, nothing. So he suspected the boys were missing after a while, I guess. And a weird thing is that he opened Simon's mail that was left at his residence that was sitting there waiting to be mailed home. Like, it was mail that he'd written ready to send to his family, and he opened it to see if there was anything, I guess is probably what he was doing. But the weird thing is that later, when this was found out to be, I guess, information he passed on, one of the unposted letters was postdated on Thursday the 4th of December. So that's 72 hours after their last radio contact.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So how did it get there?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
It's really weird. I don't know. I have some thoughts, but I think I'll keep talking before I reveal those thoughts.
Yeah.
So then Loader returned to the main station. He got there by 10 a.m. Thursday the 4th, and then reported Simon missing, but not James, just one of them. And then he called again at 12 noon and said he'd flown over the area and had a search party looking for Simon. However, none of the workers recall this search party ever happening. And there was still no mention of James or his missing vehicle.
I don't think he did the search party.
Yeah, this guy's dodgy.
I don't buy it. Yeah.
This guy's a piece of shit. So then the police finally arrived around 6 p.m. and searched the building, the abandoned vehicles and premises. And it was dark by then, so they're doing all of this in the dark. They went through Simon's belongings. They camped overnight, and Simon never returned. And then it wasn't until the next morning that the alarm was raised by Loader that, in fact, two young, inexperienced jackaroos, both minors, were missing in the desert. And it's now 96 hours since the boys had been heard from.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, it's like 104 degrees.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Terrifying. So then an actual aerial search began, because I don't think the first one ever happened.
Yeah.
And it only lasted 3 days. They claim it was virtually impossible to do the search because nobody knew where the boys had headed. And the search area was more than 100,000 square kilometers in size. I didn't do the math. What's that in miles? It's big.
Let's give it a goog. 2 miles.
Just throwing to my fact checker, Allie.
Wow, that's a lot. It's 38,610 miles.
It's a lot. I'm like pretending I know what miles are.
Really know. I was going to say, I don't really know how many miles that is, but it's a lot.
Big, it's a big area.
Yeah, it's big. A really big area.
So the ute that was presumably, the truck that was presumably taken was known to be unroadworthy, needed to be primed every 40 kilometers or so. So it was assumed that the ute had broken down and that after 72 hours without water in 40 degree heat, the boys had died. Everyone just kind of gave up.
Yeah.
But Loder suggested to the police, who of course believed him, that the boys had gone on hunting and got bogged, but then they discovered James's shotgun still at Sturt Creek, which he would have taken hunting with him. So that quickly fizzled.
That doesn't make sense.
And then he came with another story. He went to the media and claimed that the boys stole the ute and were making their way home for Christmas and probably got bogged along the way. Same thing. So he was implying that if they died, it was their own fault.
What does bogged mean?
Oh, is that slang? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like when you get stuck, usually, okay, I don't know if this part's true, but when we used to get bogged when I grew up on the farm, it was like when the stuff was like muddy, the ground, the stuff.
Oh, got it. Like so you're stuck. It gets stuck. You're mm-hmm. stuck. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Is that Aussie slang?
Yeah, I've never heard of bogged before.
I don't think I've said that word in many years either.
I understood, I think, like, from your context clues mm-hmm. in America, it's like when you're bogged down. Well, I guess no, they say.
Oh yeah, you're like stuck. No,
it says it's it says that it is what it is. It is what it is. It is what you say it is. I just never heard that word before. Sorry, that's just me.
To be fair, it does. No, not at all. It does sound like a word Australians would use, like bogged.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like a nice word.
When I heard bogged, it's like I'm bogged down with work or like I'm bogged down with things to do. Like I'm like weighed down. But I guess, no, that's our slang.
No, you're right. I forgot about the bogged down with work.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, guys. Continue.
But now everyone's in the loop.
Yeah. Now everyone knows the many definitions of the word bogged.
Yeah. If you have any others, let us know.
Yeah, let's know.
So yeah, then James's parents were skeptical of all of this. So they flew in to help with the search. But then I read that the police found them annoying, quote unquote annoying, and didn't really listen to them when they requested more extensive searches. So that's great. Oh.
Yeah, isn't it so annoying when your kids go missing?
Gosh, it's the worst.
They're so annoying. It's so annoying when parents want to find their kids.
God, just let it go, you know?
Yeah, let it go. God, move on.
Yeah, live your life. What are you doing? So annoying. So what is likely, what is what we think happened is that it appears the two boys met up on the night of December 1st, drove into the desert in an unreliable vehicle, and then no one knows why or where they were going.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So there's more, but wait.
Oh, God.
There's more.
Oh, God.
I feel like I'm just like spitting facts now and I'm not being fun.
No, you're being very fun. I'm like what this is.
Sweating and terrified because this story scared me so much.
No, I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to know what happens next. I mean, I'm reading your doc and a few paragraphs down, it says the word dingoes. So
you're
I'm
excited.
Ready. I'm ready to hear what happens next.
Throw a dingo in there.
Yeah.
So this happened in December, and it wasn't until April the next year that two bulldozer drivers discovered the ute bogged. In sand dunes to the south on an isolated track. And it's the kind of land that Google, after a quick Goog, it told me that if you were driving a regular car, it would have felt like you were driving in water. Like that's how the land is. So there were clear signs that the boys had tried to jumpstart the ute. Jumpstart's a thing, right? That's universal?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Remembering they were in 40, they're in 40 degree heat, 104 degrees.
Yeah, degrees. Yeah.
And they had no belongings with them, which was weird. I think I missed that, but like all of their stuff was left at their place. Yeah. So they left like their wallets, they left their cash, they left the letters, they left everything. So the drivers discovered that an SOS made out of spanners. Is that a thing? I think you call them wrenches. Made out of wrenches was on the roof of the ute, and an arrow made out of rocks, tools, and twigs pointed north. That's what they found with the car.
Poor guys.
Yeah. So then 75 meters away, they found a shovel, and then another 4.5 kilometers, the remnants of a red checkered shirt was found. So...
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, so they tried to walk somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So when these drivers found this, that's when they alerted police, and then another search was made, and they found an abandoned campsite about 19 kilometers north of the ute. So, yeah, it was clear the boys had traveled and then made a camp. And nearby was a line of human bones.
Oh, God.
Yeah, which was later. Yeah, no fun. Yeah. They later determined that those remains were Simon Amos, and there was a bullet hole in his forehead, and a rifle was nearby.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And Simon's remains had been disturbed by dingoes. Sorry, the dingo thing wasn't more exciting, Ali.
Yeah, I know.
And wild dogs and camels, which was news to me. Didn't know there was camels there. Am I the worst
neither.
Australian?
That's insane. Yeah. Oh, my God. Camels in the outback. That's bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, makes sense. Good place for them. But also, what? I didn't know that. Do you know in my hometown there was... There's this, my first job was at McDonald's, and it was a McDonald's Express, which is like on the corner, like open window version, like just walk up like a kiosk. Uh-huh. And so it was downtown. So like all of the cars would drive by, and in my hometown, you can like get camel rides on the beach. And they had this, they had this like car as an advertisement that would go through in like holiday periods. And it had like this giant camel on the roof, and it would drive. It would do laps of the town playing their like jingle really loud. So all day at work, you'd just hear, "Hey, hey, hey, ride a camel today," just over and over.
That's the best song I've ever heard. That's literally the best song I've ever heard in my life.
It's not.
There needs to be a real recording of that. I tried to just Google Australian camel car and nothing came up, but I would love if anyone has a picture of that camel car. I would love to see it.
Port Macquarie. Oh no, I'm revealing where I grew up. Sorry, I don't live there anymore. Port Macquarie. It's okay. I'm just more embarrassed. It's not a secret. I got out. If I Google it, just pictures of the actual thing come up. Let's see. Car. Like, I wonder if the car even runs anymore. It was pretty beat up at the time. Nah, dude.
That
not
is
finding
so
anything.
Funny.
Hey, but you can still do a camel ride there.
Yeah, if you're from there and you happen to have a picture of this camel car, we would love.
Yes, please. And also, hey, because we probably know each other, small town.
Yeah, and also hi, you and Lauren went to high school together.
Were you my first kiss? Hi.
Yeah, you and Lauren definitely know each other.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Let's take a quick break for announcements. Webcrawlers has a Patreon to get access to bonus episodes, shout outs, merch discounts, and more. Please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become a patron. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, we will shout you out. If you give us a 1-star review, we will also probably read it, but don't do that. And also shout out to the person who is absolutely making multiple accounts and giving the same 1-star review. We know you're the same person because your last 1-star review said, no, I'm multiple people. And you're our number one fan. And also, Irios has a hotline, 626-604-6262.
626-604-6262.
Keep calling in and mailbag episodes will continue soon. Now back to our program. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe you're addressing this, but this bullet hole, do you think it was a courtesy shot that they were dehydrated and dying and
yeah,
and it was please kill me, or was this a murder?
There's a few things that come up that, because I thought that at first too, but then there was some other suspicious stuff that I found out. But at first I thought, yeah, maybe a courtesy, or maybe I'm dehydrated, delirious, and I don't want to do this anymore, suicide thing.
Yeah, that's what I think at this point.
But yeah,
okay, we'll see where the story goes.
So that was Simon. And then another kilometer away, which is less than a mile, not far, from Simon's body, they found James. But unlike Simon, his remains were still had some flesh, hair, and clothing. It indicated he hadn't been dead for as long. And he left behind a water bottle with a message scratched on the lid. And it said, James, my fault. I always love you, Mom and Dad, Jason, Michelle, Joanne. And then on the side, it said, I found peace, which is going to make me cry just reading that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Boys, you know?
Yeah. It's so sad.
Yeah. But it just adds to the mystery, too. I'm I don't understand.
Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. So the coroner determined that Simon died of the bullet wound, and James's official cause of death was given as dehydration.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And I bet that is not a good way to die.
Totally. I could. Yeah. Oh, horrible. But I don't feel satisfied with that, because there's some other things that came up, like the shifty, dodgy manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a few other things that are just weird things that came up, so that are worth noting. The station cook that I mentioned, Graham, whose last name I'm not going to try and pronounce, slept. he said he slept with a knife under his pillow after hearing the rumor that Giles Loader put a previous cook in hospital. So this guy's a bad dude.
Yeah, I don't trust this guy at all.
No.
Oh, God.
All of the station personnel seemed to have memory lapses about the two boys. Nobody could remember the last meetings or conversations with James or Simon, or whether anybody had been told they'd miss their routine call-ins. Everyone forgot everything, which is
weird. So they were threatened to.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Don't say anything.
Yeah. Don't say. Yeah. That was really threatening. Lauren. Don't.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Hey, don't say
I'm
anything.
A scary girl.
Yeah.
I can stick up for myself.
Yeah, you pretending to be threatening is so cute. Hey, don't.
Don't. It's it'd be really nice if you didn't say anything. I mean, if you're going to, I guess I can't stop you, but if you don't mind, be really helpful for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, some other weird things were that James was apparently an experienced Boy Scout who knew how to survive if he was stranded. He had all the skills. So
yeah, that's sus.
again, he left all his stuff behind. So
that's
anyway.
That's also weird. Yeah.
You would think if he was experienced, he would know what to take with him. People have questioned why there was no evidence of a fire to signal for help at the campsite because there were unused matches left in the car. So they had these to start a fire.
Really weird. Yeah.
Both boys. Yeah. So the both boys left their wallets. I'm from New Zealand now and don't come at me for that terrible accent. Their wallets, cash and letters from family and friends at their respective homesteads. And Simon had left behind his most treasured possession, a Valiant charger. I Googled that. It's a car.
Oh,
I was like, that he was restoring. So if they're abandoning their jobs and going home, which is what the manager had claimed, you'd think they would have taken their things.
I mean, it's insane, like, to leave your wallet and money behind if you're going somewhere. Like, totally. That makes zero sense.
Totally. And also, a Valiant charger is a hot car, just so you know.
I think I know what it is.
I looked it up.
It's like an old car.
It's the kind of thing that, like, I don't know, maybe I should have looked up what year it was from, because now I might sound stupid, but, like, if I was in that 70s show and, like, Donna's girlfriend, I'd want to drive this car.
I would want that car. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't just leave that behind if you're going somewhere.
Of course.
Yeah, and you would take that car.
You would take that car and not the ute that breaks down.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And then again, the difference in the decomposition of the boys' bodies shows that Simon died much earlier than James. And they think that perhaps a month or even more between their deaths.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yet they were like, the bodies were still really close together. So it's really like in terms
of
distance.
Weird.
Yeah. Super weird. Human blood. Okay. This one's fucked up. Human blood found on James's hat was tested and found that it wasn't from him or Simon. So it's like a mystery person's blood. And Loda, the manager, was said to be like abusive, apparently had a bandaged leg after the boys went missing.
Did they test?
I couldn't find that. I looked at said that they did that. I don't know whether, like,
God.
When was DNA testing? When did that come in again?
I feel like I've Googled this so many times and I never remember. DNA testing origin.
Oh, a year later.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, that answers that. But still, do you think, I wonder where the hat is now or like when that came to be, like when DNA thing became a thing.
It's my Nathan's hot dogs hat.
That's a great hat. I was going to wear my women hat. That's all right. Oh, I'm having a good hair day. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm glad you didn't either.
Okay. And then another thing is that residents in a nearby Aboriginal community claim that when the boys drove through, they saw the ute and then they saw another vehicle following the ute into the desert. And then that vehicle returned the next night alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously Giles killed them.
Totally. Totally. And then the water bottle that I mentioned with the note scratched into it from James went missing. So when the police sent James's family a photo of the lid, no message was visible.
That's weird.
Yeah. And then lastly, when the boys' bodies were finally found months later and then they held a memorial service, the Loders, like that family, didn't attend or offer condolences or anything. So, I mean,
that's insane.
Even if they're not guilty, they're pieces of shit. So,
yeah, no, like that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I'm getting really angry.
I know.
Can you tell?
I'm also so confused about the month difference in their decomposition. Like, that's so confusing.
Yeah. Like, I think that something sketchy went on with the manager and that perhaps James was left there. Like, Simon was killed and then James was left there or something.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's smart.
Maybe injured, which is why he didn't get very far. Maybe, I don't know, like maybe they fought and that's maybe then the blood was of the manager's. And then if he was injured, he couldn't travel very far. I don't know.
I just had a really gross thought.
Oh, no.
Do you think that James had to eat Simon to survive for a little
bit? Oh, my gosh. Maybe. Oh, fuck.
He was just all bones and stuff.
Oh my gosh, maybe it wasn't dingoes. Or maybe, oh fuck.
I don't know. Just putting that out there.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, like, what would you do?
Yeah, like,
to survive,
if that's,
you know.
And if this person's already passed.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is bad. Okay. Continue. Sorry, I just had that
thought. That's okay. These are the thoughts you have when you do stuff like this every week, Allie. Yeah, you're trained to think about all the options. Your brain is ready to think about all the possibilities.
It just goes there. Yeah.
So ultimately, the deaths were deemed accidental. Like everyone just assumed no one was charged, nothing. So James's parents later sued Australian stations over the psychiatric injuries they suffered. So during the months they were waiting to find out what happened, James's mom's mental health broke down and then his dad had to stop working to take care of her. So they sued for that.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. And the couple claimed that their son died due to negligence of the company, which, yeah, even if this guy didn't kill them, sucks at his job.
There's horrible conditions there.
Yeah. And like no training, sending them to live isolated as teenage boys with no training. Like it's just anything could happen. So the family said that they'd never been satisfied with any explanation of why the boys had driven into the desert. And Mrs. Annette, who's James's mom, believed that they had been met with foul play. And the Western Australian Supreme Court rejected the couple's claim in the year 2000, finding that they were too far removed from the events surrounding their son's death to be compensated. Just so, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
Who is, like, how can you be far removed as a parent?
Yeah, what's insane?
I got that from several articles. I was like, did I read this right? That can't be right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But then later the High Court found Australian stations did owe a duty of care to James's parents, which allowed them to plan an appeal before the Western Australian Court of Criminal Appeal.
Good.
So Mrs. Annette said that her main objective was to learn what happened to her son, not to receive compensation. And in March 2003, James's parents received an out-of-court compensation payout for damages due to the emotional shock caused by their son's mysterious death. Yeah. So, I mean, not justice, but something?
No, at not least they got something, but it's like, there's still no answers.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have a quote from James's mom who said, he was a wonderful boy. He was an excellent sportsman and received a letter from the then sports minister, John Brown, congratulating him. He was in the Boy Scouts. He loved the outdoors. James meant far too much to us. We have fought for 16 years. And if we have to fight for another 16 years, we will. So these boys were very loved. Very.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wonder what happened.
Oh, my God. That's like the worst timing, but also maybe the best because I was starting to get sad that I just fucking knocked my microphone off. I don't know what happened. The drawer of my desk opened
and swatted her mic over.
Okay, I think there's a ghost because the drawer of my desk just opened on its own, and then I don't know what happened.
I said, I wonder what happened, and then Lauren's desk drawer opened on its own, and her mic fell. So if that's not a ghost, I don't know what is. They're trying to James, Simon, are you here?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're on your side, obviously.
Yeah. I think that it's the guy Giles followed the, I don't know. Cause like, why were they going out there in the first place? Maybe he was following them and was like by gunpoint or something and was like, drive out here. I'll tell you when to stop or I don't know. I'm just so confused. If you guys know or have a theory, if you guys know, if one of you is there, knows what happens. If you guys have any theories, please call in or email us and let us know what you think. Lauren, where can people find you on the internet? Where can people find your podcast, etc.?
Oh my gosh, you're so sweet. Thank you. My Dad Stole My Limelight is available wherever you can listen to your podcasts. I don't have social media anymore, so you can't find me there.
Oh, yeah, queen. Oh my God, what a move. I love that for you.
That's right. I still have my podcast social media, so I can still lurk my exes.
Great. I just was curious.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And then I write a Substack as well, which is just Hi Lauren Deborah on Substack. So that's a weekly blog where I talk about, I call it the digital journal of a chronic oversharer because I love to share all my things.
Oh, I love that. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on. And Elmon.
Yeah. Oh, nickname? You're so cute. She's going to cry. Allie said my name.
Congratulations on uni, and social work is such an honorable trade. So good for you. I always wanted to get to social work, but I did not have the fortitude.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
For it. So good for you. And Lauren, we'll have you on again. And everyone listen to her podcast. It's so great and it's moving and inspirational. And she has like a different guest on each week to talk about how they came out and what it was like for them. And it's really awesome.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, this is Lauren and Allie, the school marms.
Governesses.
Governesses. I was about to say mistresses. The governesses. Either of all. Yeah. The governesses of web crawlers. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
An Erios original.
Powered by Acast.